I hear that every day about the church. I love the church. I love Jesus. But you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't have to serve the church to be a Christian. You don't have to give to the church to be a Christian. You don't have to change your attitude to be a Christian. You don't have to change your language to be a Christian. Well, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow Christ? In the last lesson that Cord's been teaching about the church is to appreciate the church itself. And we talk all the time about how much we appreciate all of you and what you do and how you serve and how you give. But when's the last time we thank God for the church? And you know what? I don't mean the building. You know that. I mean the body of Christ, you and me. And you know what? The church, man, do we have imperfections. Church makes me mad. Church makes me cry. Church breaks my heart. Church people gossip. Church people lie. Church people get drunk. My heart gets broken. Your heart gets broken. Marriages break up. People are abused. You name it. It all happens. But the Church of Jesus Christ is still the light of the world. And when you read about the worst moment in the church, you read about the church in 1 Corinthians, it says that you and I are the body of Christ. Now, flawed? Yeah. Lonely sometimes? Yeah. Frustrated most of the time? Yeah. But the church of Jesus Christ is what Jesus is coming back for. An imperfect, broken, sinful mess of people. That's who Jesus is coming back for. And in Ephesians 4:13, it says that Jesus is the head of the church. It's not the pastor. It's not a priest. It's not the pope. The head of the church is Jesus. And if you're cut off from the head, how well do you do? How well does the body function? Not at all. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, you and I are the body of Christ. In fact, the word that is used there is that we are the limbs, we are the arms, we are the legs, we are the extension of Jesus. Because Jesus is the head, and we are, therefore, everything that works. We are what prays, we are what laughs, we are what cries, we are what celebrates. And you know why we have services? Because I was pondering that today. Why do we meet? Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday, whenever you have your Bible studies? The answer is to get us through the day. To get us through the next week. To get us through wherever we're at in our life so that we can make it to that finish line when Jesus comes to get us. But never forget that you and I are the body of Christ. And it breaks my heart that people will say, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to be a part of the body. Well, how can you be connected to the head and not be a part of the body? It's like, I want all the benefits, but I don't really want to connect. In fact, that passage in 1 Corinthians says, in particular, you have a job. He goes on to explain, I'm in 1 Corinthians 12, if you haven't figured that out yet, but in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, in particular, he said, some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are teachers. But he said, everybody is a part of the body of Christ. If you are a Christian, then you are a part of that connection. When's the last time we just stopped to appreciate the church and say, you know what? I'm blessed. You know, it was in the church. It was a flawed guy, a very flawed guy, that told me about Jesus. It was in a flawed church that told me about Jesus. It was a little bitty country church. It still is a little bitty country church. But because of that congregation, I'm here today. I found out about Jesus. I found out about a college. I found out that God could use my life because somebody in the body of Christ showed up for church on Sunday morning and said, you guys need to know about Jesus. That's what it means to be a part of the body. And I love that video about all the pluses. You know, none of us have our act together. All those, but it's this, but it's this, but it's that. It reminds me of the story. I don't know if you're, I guess I could take this down before the TV overheats. Yeah, it's like 300 degrees up there. You ever wonder why Switzerland is such an incredible tourist destination? Anybody ever been to Switzerland? The Alps? St. Bernard? You know, I'm not really sure, but I will tell you this. The flag is a big plus. Come on. It's Wednesday night, if that's all you're going to get. I got to save the good stuff for the weekend. The body of Christ, I mean, this is the plus that I get to be a part of what God is doing. Jesus is the head. Aren't you glad? I don't have to figure out the purpose. I don't have to figure out the plan. I didn't have to die on the cross. I don't have to go through all of that. But I get to be a part of what Jesus is doing in history. I get to be a part of what Jesus is doing in the world. That's the exciting thing about this. And the church, you and I, are the visible picture of Christ. Sometimes we're a better picture than others. Some days we're a better picture than others. Some years we've been better pictures than others. But we're the only hope the world has. So if you'll take your Bibles out, that's the verse. It's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. This is the verse that Cord gave me to preach tonight. So I'm guessing he would have had more to say about this than I will. But nonetheless, this is what it says. It says, now you are, not you will be, not that you might be, not that some of you will be, but you are the body of Christ. And you know what's exciting about this? You know what the worst church in the whole Bible is? It's the church in Corinth. Read the first 11 chapters. They didn't do anything right. Nothing. It's horrible. Nobody gets excoriated like the church in Corinth, and yet that's the church that he says, you're the body of Christ. You guys are it. You're what this town is counting on. We're it. For good or bad, we're the message of hope to the world around us. So let's talk about real quickly what that looks like. Number one, I am a part of Jesus' body. I was fortunate enough to play on my high school baseball team. It was primarily because it was a little bitty school and there wasn't too many of us that wanted to be catchers. So it worked out pretty well for me. But one day a friend said, hey, there's another team that we want to go try out for. It's an American Legion team. And so we drove to Ellsbury, Missouri and had tryouts. And it was a very interesting deal. They never said you made the team. They just walked by and threw jerseys at you if you made the team. And my friend and I looked at each other and we're like, I guess this means we're here. It was no welcome. It was no, isn't this great? It was just, here's your jersey. But I remember that ride home. And I remember what it felt like to be a part of the team. You know what? I played almost none. I sat on the bench. The guy that I played behind was a draft choice for the Phillies. And let's just say I wasn't. Okay. And so I got to watch some really good baseball. But you know what? I had a jersey. I was part of that team. But I also remember a good friend of mine. His name was Tim. Probably a better ball player than I was. But he was at the wrong position at the wrong time. And Tim got cut from the team. And Tim and I have been friends since we were little kids. And I remember how painful it was, even though I had a jersey, that he didn't get one. Anybody got any friends that you know that aren't right with Jesus? Probably so. And you know what? You're saying, well, maybe somebody that's really got their act together could go and tell them about Jesus. Maybe the pastor would go. You know what? The best person to go is you, because they know you. You can be real. Hey, here I am. I'm not trying to fool you. You know my story. You know my life. But I've found Jesus. And I'm telling you, he's the answer. Am I still flawed? Yeah. Am I still messed up? Yeah. But I got a jersey. Doesn't that feel good? And if the good thing about Jesus is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to get cut. If you accept Jesus, it's your choice. If you get cut, you cut yourself. All right? But the cool thing is, Jesus doesn't just walk by and throw jerseys at you. Jesus says, welcome to the family. He says, man, I'm glad you're here. I've been waiting for you. If you read Luke 15, it says he comes that God comes running out to meet us. He's been waiting all our lives for this opportunity to love us and to bring us into the family. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says that you and I have been bought with a price. We got verse 20. We've been bought with a price. We've been paid for by the blood of Christ. Why? So that we could be a part of the team. Not that we could be the star, but so that we could be a part. We could be a limb. We could be an arm. We could be an eye. We could be that bag of rice. I'm talking to a friend of mine today who works with a disaster group, and they're working in Myanmar, and we've already sent a pretty good check over there. But he said, the entire country, Joe, is underwater. He said, there'll be no food for a year because they can't grow it. There's no way. They live on rice. He said, what do you do in a mess like this? This is a guy that works with disasters all the time. Well, there's only one answer for something like that. It's the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying non-Christians don't help sometimes, but just stick with me. When we get to the end of this, I'll think I'll make my point. So I am a part of the body of Jesus. Secondly, I'm a part of the greatest organism in world history. I didn't say organization. That's where the church messes up a lot of times. There's got to be some organization, but the church is not meant to be an organization. It's meant to be an organism. Do we have any pictures? We have pictures of what I'm talking about? I think we do. All right, there's an organism. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a healthy one or if that's cancer, but organisms grow. Am I right? Organisms grow. They multiply. They split and they multiply. That's the word that Jesus uses about the church. The church is a living organism. It's not an organization that says we come and sit, we put in our time, we punch our clock. We are a living organism that multiplies by bringing other people under the blood of Christ. And Jeff making that commitment to start the service, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Some of you need to make that same decision. Now, Jeff, are you perfect? I mean, it's been pretty good. It's been, what, 15 minutes? You're doing all right? Yeah. But you know what? I wanted to say this in the water. You know what? But Jeff won't be perfect. Jeff's not going to come up and everything's going to be perfect in his life. But he is forgiven. And that's the power that we have in Jesus. And that's why the organism thing is so important. The organization, look at the world system of organization. Organizations don't work very well. But an organism, over the last 2,000 years, the Church of Jesus has been able to start how many thousands of hospitals? How many thousands of orphanages? How many millions of people's souls have been rescued? Now, if you don't believe in eternity, if you don't believe in eternal destiny, me talking about souls isn't going to make any difference to you. But if you do believe in eternity, then you got to think, you know what? That's a pretty important deal. Because if Jeff's going to be in heaven or hell forever, that's a big deal. If I'm going to be in heaven or hell forever, that's a big deal. If you're going to be in heaven or hell forever, that's a big deal, isn't it? And for 2,000 years around the world, the Church of Jesus has continued to multiply, to be that organism that expands and reaches other people. And Acts 2:42 said that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the Bible, to fellowship, which is actually work, not eating pie, by the way. To the breaking of bread, that's the Lord's Supper that we take together, remembering Jesus, and prayer. And when they did that, the church grew. And it tells us that in the book of Acts, it grew to 3,000, it grew to 5,000, and then it grew to a number that was beyond what anybody could conceive. And here we are, 2,000 years later, still reaping that. We're a part of the greatest organism that has ever existed. Now here's the question, does it end with me? Does it become an organization with me? Because if it becomes an organization with me, we've lost everything. If we've ceased to be the organism that reproduces, that multiplies, that reaches more people, that plants more churches, that reaches out to new countries and new areas and new neighborhoods. My goodness, we'd never. Jesus said, you'll go through the whole world before I come back and you still won't have time to get to everybody. Well, here we are still working on it, still carrying the gospel. But, you know, the problem we have, there's a lady demonstrated it real well out in Yellowstone the other day. She decided to get her picture taken with a buffalo, selfie. Did you see this? All right. I do this great research for you guys. And she said, I knew that it was a bad idea. But there were a lot of other people there watching, so I figured it was okay. You ever been burned that way? Well, that's the fear that you and I will miss out on what God really meant this to be. And if church gets boring, if church becomes something that it's not supposed to be, it's maybe because in your life or in my life, it's become an organization rather than an organism. And we need to work on that. Merle Haggard, and if you're old enough to remember Merle Haggard, but this is his quote of the week. I thought he was going to say something cool. I really did. So I read the article, and he said years ago, the article said, I've changed my mind about pot smoking. And I thought, okay, I'm going to read this article. And he said, years ago, I was against it. But he said, if a guy doesn't learn anything in 50 years, there's something wrong with him. And he said, so now I've shifted my perspective and I've matured as an adult. That's the problem. We get older, but we don't always mature, do we? That's the struggle. But that's what we're working toward. Lord, I want to be a part of your organism. I want to be a part that replicates and makes a difference. I want to be the part of the body that feeds people and loves people and cries with people, hurts people. You know what? There are times when I get so frustrated because I'm tired of being with people that are hurting and crying and suffering and struggling. But isn't that what the church is? Yeah, sometimes you got to walk away. Sometimes you got to take a break. But that's our whole purpose. That's the whole reason that we're here. That leads it to the third part, and that is, I'm a part of the answer. When Paul says we're the body of Christ, he's telling us, you have the answer. Now, what do politicians tell me every day? Come on. They tell me what the problems are. But nobody ever gives me an answer. I mean, they tell me they have an answer, but rarely do I actually get an answer. And I made a list, whether we're talking about marriage or crime or abortion or murder or addiction, homelessness, starvation, sexuality, anger, education, racism, taxes. The only thing I ever hear is we need to spend more money. We need to spend more of your money. We need to spend more of our money. But the problem is, the problems never go away. Because none of those problems that I list can be solved through money. Can some things be made better? Certainly. If you have money, you can buy more rice. That's a point. But none of these problems that we have in our culture, thank you. None of these problems that we have in our culture can go away, are going to go away because we have better politicians or because we have more money being thrown at it. It's going to happen when people get an eternal answer, when they have a plan beyond what's in this world, something they can hold on to. Let me just ask you this. Have you ever seen this advertisement? Hindus for the homeless. Atheist hospital. LGBTQR, whatever, food drive. ACLU baby bottle drive for the unborn. See, it's not hard to come up with the problems. The problem is finding the answer. And Jesus said, we got the answer. The answer doesn't lie in this world. It does not lie in what politicians can do or what courts can do or whatever. I mean, the world's been trying, and look at where we are. The only answer is to give people a way out of this world, a way to get from this world into eternity. Now, I had to write this down because in Ephesians 4, it also says, be angry, but don't sin. Anybody have a problem with that one? First part I'm pretty good at. Finding that line is where it's difficult. It's highlighted, underlined, circled in my Bible, but it's still very difficult. But I go back to the fact that you and I have the answer. Now, you know what? Jesus said, there are some people that if he came himself, they wouldn't listen. Jesus could stand up front and tell you his own story, and there'd be people, well, A would not come. They'd say, I don't have to go listen to him to believe in him. I don't have to do what he said. I don't have to follow him. I don't have to listen to him. I don't have to invest in him. But guys, I'm telling you, the church is the only answer this world has. It's the only hope we have. And you want to know why things get so bad at the end times? Let me tell you. Because when Jesus comes back, and he's coming soon, when Jesus comes back, the church is taken away. When the church of Jesus is taken away, God's Spirit is taken away. Tell me what this world's going to be like when the church of Jesus is taken out. You tell me who's left. You tell me what the world looks like without the church there to help, to feed, to clothe, to give water, to dig wells. Our children's department just finished a big offering to dig wells in third world countries. Whatever we're talking about, if you take the church away, you really got a mess. But right now, you and I, not in the future, you and I, we are the body of Christ. So the question is, what are we going to do with that? What do we do as the body of Christ? Well, tonight, I want us to appreciate the church. I'm going to tell you one last story. Again, there it is, if you don't believe me. But a couple took their 5-foot boa constrictor for a swim in a Pennsylvania river. And to their surprise, the snake got away. Now, They laid down and took a nap, and they woke up and the snake was gone. I mean, who knew that a snake would leave? They said they've been back to the riverside several times, but he's still missing. But don't worry, they said, he's, quote, very friendly. Anybody want to go to Pennsylvania and go swimming? That's why the world needs the message of Jesus. And listen, I don't know why Jesus left us in charge. If I was Jesus, I would not have left us in charge. I'd have surely come up with another plan. He left the message that he had of the cross. He left it in the hands of 11 teenagers. And 2,000 years later, here we are. Because God's Spirit works in us. In spite of who we are, in spite of what we've done, in spite of all of that, the church of Jesus still stands. And when you read in the Bible all the problems that the church has, don't forget that Jesus is still coming back for his church. So I want to take a minute right now, and I just want us to pray. And here's what I want you to pray about. I want you to pray for churches. This church will be happy to take your prayers. There's other churches in town, you know, that need prayer. Other pastors that you know that need prayer. Your home church. It's the last time you prayed for your home church. I don't know the last time I prayed for my home church. And thank God for that church. Because without that little country church in Winfield, Missouri, I wouldn't have got my uniform. I wouldn't be standing here today. But there's a little church that runs 50 out in the middle of Highway 47 where I found Jesus. And I got to be a part of the body. Let's pray. Father, I suspect that there are hundreds of different churches being lifted up right now, and how cool that is. Catholic churches, Presbyterian churches, Lutheran churches, Methodist churches, Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, Christian churches. Somebody that loved us enough to tell us about Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you that in spite of all the struggles that we have, we know we still carry that torch. We still carry that message. We still get to be your hands and feet. And God, sometimes it's frustrating. I wish I had Donald Trump's billions. I think I could do a really good job with his money. But for some reason, you've chosen to give him that money and not me. but I need to be faithful with what I have. And I think sometimes I could be a lot better if I was 6'5", but you chose for me not to be that. So tonight, rather than us focusing on what we're not and what we don't have, help us to be faithful with what we do have. We appreciate the church. We appreciate the one who led us to Jesus. That pastor, that friend, that Sunday school teacher. Father, thank you for the church. And God, every one of us knows people that are disconnected tonight. They'll tell you they're Christians, but they've cut the head off and they're out wandering around saying, I don't need to be a part of the body. Lord, give us an opportunity this week to minister to them and help them find their way back to getting connected. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.